We'll just go to the word because our scriptures will kind of be all over the place, and our technician, our specialist will post them as we get there. But how many of you know we cannot do anything without God? Amen. And so since God knows that, he doesn't leave it up to you.
No, he don't.
I need everybody to understand that today. God is so all-knowing that he would never leave something up to humans that they can't do. And the reason I know that is because the scripture said that God is just. So that means he's fair. And God would never ask you to do anything that you can't do.
Right.
Is that making sense to anybody this morning? When you say that if it's just so hard, what you need to understand is that if it's so hard, then you need to turn to God because he says, my way is not hard. And so when I find myself in a hard situation, I want to be able to remember that it must be something I'm trying to handle on my own. Because God cannot contradict his word that my burdens are light. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. Wait a minute, is anybody having a hard time? It's okay, we're going to get delivered today. Come on, is anybody having a hard time? Because my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. And so if I am, come on and help me here, if I'm burdened down, it ain't with God stuff. It's got to be something I'm doing. Oh, this is helping me because wait a minute. Do you ever feel like you're just completely overwhelmed? Can I tell you this morning that that's not God's stuff you overwhelmed with? And I understand, I know you're trying to live right, you're trying to do right, and it's just like, this is getting too much for me. Anybody been there? Can I tell you what you are trying to do is not your job? Because he says, mine is easy. And I understand what he means by that. It is not easy because it's not difficult. It's easy because he does it. Yeah, it is hard for us, but for him it's nothing. So if you're going up against something that's too much for you, you just need to snap out of it and say, this is not my thing. Most of y'all ain't old enough to know, but it ain't your thing. Now, the Isaac brothers said it was their thing and they could do what they want to do with it. But he said, if you just let me do this for you. I think we read a scripture a couple of weeks ago that he said, I will set you on high. And he said, I will make you righteous. Listen, if God says he's going to make me righteous, common sense says I need to get back out of the way and just let him do what he's going to do. And one thing I've discovered about God is God don't need our help. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So he is telling us that with him, all things are possible. If you want God, he's right there. And I just got to understand, even in the Old Testament, they understood that he says that the riches of the Lord don't add sorrow to you. He says, I'll do it for you. I'll bless you and there'll be no toil. But we've been taught all our lives that you got to work for what you're going to get from God. God told man to work one time, and that was to take care of himself, his natural needs. But everything else God said, he said, I'll supply. Do you understand that he's talking about your spirit, the things you cannot do? He'll take care of them for you. And so there's let's get to our text this morning. Y'all just follow me along. I don't know how we're going to do this, but
that's all right.
We will do it.
He'll do it.
Amen. All right, so how many of you have been thinking about, I don't want to lose my blessing?
Yeah. From last week.
How many of you are still thinking about, I don't want to lose?
Yeah.
I don't want to lose my blessing. And what I'm trying to get you to see, I'm going to be a bit methodical this morning because most of y'all attention span is going to be kind of short because you're thinking about that food.
Come on, man.
But if God has done it,
yeah,
what am I trying not to lose?
That's right.
That's it.
Amen.
Let's see, pal. Let's see.
And so we come to the conclusion that I don't want to lose my blessing, so this is what I'm going to do.
All right.
Anybody ever been there? You know, I think I said last week, so you think if you shut up in the house and don't go nowhere, you can't
see
it.
Come on.
And if you really think about it, that's really backwards, because most of the stuff you do it behind closed doors anyway. And you think you got to stay away from certain people so you won't sin. Amen.
Amen.
Because this person knows how to push my button, so I'm going to have to stay away.
Yeah.
All right. And so we try to figure out ways or avenues of things that we can do so we won't lose our blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a sermon that I preached back in 2014, and God brought it back to my remembrance, and it says, don't lose what you work so hard for.
Okay.
But he wasn't talking about your blessings or your salvation. What he was talking about, and I went back and listened at that message, even on the CD, and what God was explaining to us is that when you have come to the knowledge of God, stay with that and don't try to go back to doing things your own. Praise God. So let's look at verse 14. It's kind of where we ended last week. Verse 14, and I want to read that in the Amplified again. Are you ready, Lady Lane?
To the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, so that we through faith might all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit.
Now, how do you get the blessing? You get it through what? Faith. He says, to the end that we will receive Jesus Christ, the blessing. He is the blessing. How many of you in here have received Christ? Then you have the promise. I know church has told you that now that you received Christ, now you got to do everything this Bible says. And that's kind of strange when the one telling you that is struggling themselves. If they would understand the grace factor, they would know that once you receive Christ, let him do what he said he would do in your life. I need three people to change the way you think. When you receive Christ, let him do the work. How many of you going to let Christ perform in you what only he can do? If Christ is the promised seed, God cannot go back on what he said.
So if God won't go back on what he said, what are you trying not to lose?
Yeah.
If you have believed in Christ, you have received the promised seed.
Yeah.
I know. They told you in Vacation Bible School. You can't be bad. If you're bad, God won't bless you. What is bad? Because bad to one person may be one thing and to another something else. But we need to understand the grace factor of what God is doing in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. So he says that he is the promised seed. Let's go on down to verse 16, and we'll read on as we go. We may even go down to verse 19. Let's read verse 16.
Now the promises, covenants, or agreements were decreed and made to Abraham and his seed, his offspring, his heir. He, God, does not say, and to seeds or descendants, heirs, as if referring to many persons, but and to your seed, your descendant, your heir, obviously referring to one individual who is none other than Christ the Messiah.
Wait, now I want you to get this. Now, that sounded like a lot, but I wanted it to amplify so that it could be broken down. What he is saying here is the promise of the seed of Abraham to be blessed. He was talking about one seed. And the scripture plainly tells us that that one seed is Christ. So now let's look at it. So when you accept Christ and believe that he is, you get the promise. You get, he said, by this seed shall all nations of the earth be what? Blessed. So when God blesses you through the promised seed, he has blessed you and he will not take it away.
That's right.
Woo. There's only one way to denounce the blessing, and it's still going to be present. You just won't be able to benefit. The only thing that will denounce it is say, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I don't believe he exists.
That's right.
Then you can't get the seed.
Yeah, you can't get it.
But who in here knows that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And you have faith in him, because the scripture said when you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he said you shall be saved. But you know, it's elementary, but we just been so used to, well, since you saved now, you got to live what this Bible says.
Yeah.
Somebody find that for me.
It ain't in there.
When you accept Jesus Christ, you accept what he has already done. And if we would simplify it to people, it wouldn't be so many people on the outside saying, I can't do that church stuff because it's too hard. Because the church has made it hard when God made it easy. Said it just accept me that he is the Christ. Read on.
This is my argument. The law, which began 430 years after the covenant concerning the coming Messiah.
Now look at that. The law. Now, God made the promise to Abraham way back in Genesis, 430 years before Moses wrote the law.
He made the promise.
So now, if the law is what you have to do to keep the promise, why did the promise come before the law?
Come on, man.
Because he promised it to Abraham before a law was ever written. I wish I had some folk here who would understand me this morning that we've got to stop teaching folk that you got to keep everything in the Bible in order to be blessed.
Talk, man. Come on.
Because then that puts the burden on them. And you wonder why they won't come to church. See, they're not like you. You keep coming because that's all you know to do. You've been coming all your life. And you feel guilty if you don't come. So you need to get delivered also. Because you need to come here because you just want to praise God for what he already done. And if you'll keep on having faith and believing him, the stuff that you still hung up with, you'll understand that that's not your problem. And if you give it to God, he'll take it from you. But church folk told you you need to quit that. Thank you, Lord. I know this won't preach in a lot of pulpits. Thank you, Jesus. The promised seed is Christ. Do you have him this morning? Then you can't lose your blessing. I wish you could get that. If you got Christ, you cannot lose your blessing. Because he is the promised seed. One thing and one thing only, you have to denounce that he is. And then you out there on your own. And I don't think we have anybody in here like that this morning. He is the promised seed. So you don't want to lose your blessing. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the Bible every day. Good point. You read it to learn what Christ is going to do in your life. Woo! See, we've been reading it to try to find out what I need to do. Well, I know this is strange. I know it. But you read it. Woo! You ought to read it and start shouting. Because when you read it, you find out what he's going to do in your life. You read it and find out, whoo, he's going to deliver me from that. I thought I had to stop doing that. You read it and you're going to find out that he's going to bring you and set you on high. You read it and you find out and he says, I'll make you the righteousness of God. In fact, Paul got so bold, he said, I am the righteousness of God. I wish I had somebody that won't mind saying that with me this morning. I am the righteousness of God by Christ Jesus. I dare you to get up every day and say that and watch stuff start falling off of you. Come on, man. Are y'all with me?
Come on, man.
See, here it is. It says, somewhere we read it says, put on Christ.
Yeah.
Now, when you put on Christ, that you still not fixing nothing. But what you need to understand is when you put on Christ, everything that's not like Christ gonna fall off of you.
Yeah.
You don't have to strip it off. Just put on the right stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hmm? Y'all probably had some siblings. I didn't do it because I thought I was tough and I could just take it. But my sister would put on 2-3 pair of pants.
All
right. And I was going to cushion some of the whooping.
Yeah.
Hmm? Now, we didn't get a bunch of them. I can probably count them on one hand, but the ones I got, I remember. You don't see, that's the good thing about God. You can put him on no matter what state you are in. Now I know that's against church theology. You know, get yourself together. Get yourself together. And just because they dip snuff and don't smoke dope, they think they better than you. The truth will set you free, won't it? And so we need to leave other people's proclivities alone and just tell them, put on Christ. The formula is simple. Put him on. Wake up every day. I don't care what you feel like doing in your body. Put him on. Say, I'm putting on Christ today. I don't know what's going to happen when I walk out the door, but I'm putting on Christ today, and I'm going to walk out of here. Something's already on my mind to do that ain't like Christ, but I am the righteousness of God. Come on, I want you to say it every day. I am the righteousness of God by Christ Jesus. It ain't what you do. You just have to accept what he's already done.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Read on. I'm trying to make this plain. You won't shout today. Read on.
The law, which began 430 years after the covenant concerning the Messiah.
After the covenant.
Does not and cannot annul the covenant previously established, ratified by God, so as to abolish the promise and make it void.
The law can't take away the promise. That's what he said. He said, the reason I made this covenant with Abraham of the promise of the blessing of the seed is because I wanted them to know that it came first.
It came before it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, the law does have a purpose.
Yeah.
But the purpose is not for you to keep it. Oh, somebody's confused now. Well, then if we're not supposed to keep it, why is it there? Let's read. We'll find out why it's there. It's better for the Bible to tell you than me. Let's read.
For if the inheritance of the promise depends on observing the law, as these false teachers would like you to
believe. Wait a minute. I am not going to be a false teacher. The Bible says if there's anybody teaching that you got to observe the law, the scripture says they are a false teacher.
Talk, man.
Woo, somebody better change the way they've been thinking. I don't care if you're sitting on the pew and you think that way. The Bible says you are false. Boy, anybody getting set free today? See, not only will this set you free in your relations with others, but it'll set you free in your own life when you understand that I don't have to do what's already been done. And when you revolutionize your thinking, then what you are trying to accomplish becomes easy because it's already done. Somebody say, all I got to do is accept it. Even with your faults and flaws and hang-ups, just accept it. You can't take on something long enough and it don't take on you. It's the same way with sin. You keep staying around stuff that is no good for you. After a while, it will take on you. Well, the same thing works with God. If you keep putting him on. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, wake up every morning and get dressed with God. See, put him on before you put your work clothes on. Put him on before you fix your lunch. Huh? Put him on first thing in the morning. Then whatever else comes your way, you all right? Somebody make you mad, you got on Jesus. Huh? Even if you don't pass the test, you still have him on. Amen. And he will restrain you from going further than you would have. What else did he say? I got to do this today. What else?
For if the inheritance of the promise depends on observing the law, as these false teachers would like you to believe, it no longer depends on the promise. However, God gave it to Abraham as a free gift solely by virtue of his promise.
So God gave it to Abraham because he wanted to.
Yeah, right.
Woo!
God, that's what he wanted.
That's what God wanted to do.
Yeah.
In other words, when God looked down in the land of Ur, he saw this man who was a Chaldean. Yeah. Check this out. Who was not an Israelite.
Come on, man.
Y'all help me. So why did God choose Abraham? He could have chosen one of those sophisticated, law-abiding Israelites. But he chose a man that was not even from the country of God's people, because he was doing that to let him know that I'm going to bring in all nations, not just the church folk. So he chose Abraham. And look what he told Abraham. He said, I want you to go where I tell you. First thing he said, just take off walking first. And after you start walking, then I'll show you. I'll tell you where I want you to go. How many of you was just take off walking and God haven't even told you where to go yet?
Just go.
Amen. God is telling some of y'all this morning to take off walking.
Come on, man.
Yeah, because this is one of them sermons I ain't never heard tell of that before.
Yeah. Come on, man. Come on.
I dare you to just take off walking.
Yeah,
And if you will walk, God will show you where to go once you make a move. Tell your neighbor, bust a move, and God will show you.
Wow.
Amen. What else did he say?
What then was the purpose of the law?
Okay, I told y'all earlier, I said, well, the law has a purpose. It's not for you to keep it, but it has a purpose. What is it?
It was added later on after the promise.
430 years later.
To disclose and expose to men their guilt because of transgressions and to make men more conscious of the sinfulness of sin.
Yeah.
And it was intended to be in effect until the seed, the descendant, the heir, should come and concerning whom the promise had been made. And it, the law, was arranged and ordained and appointed through the instrumentality of angels and was given by the hand in the person of a go-between, Moses, an intermediary person between God and man.
Now everybody know, now that was a long discourse. Let me tell you, the law was given so that we would know what was wrong. Did anybody ever tell you that, or did they tell you the law was given so that it was so you're supposed to keep that?
Yeah.
It was simply given so that man would be aware of that this, what I am doing, God does not like it.
That's right. So we'll know what it is.
Hmm?
Thank you.
In other words, he was just letting us know, these are the things that I do not want you to do. But he never asked you to keep it.
No,
it was simply given so that you would know what is wrong.
Yeah.
That's why there were 613 of them.
Come on.
So that you would know what is wrong. We ask you to do one thing. You know, you complain about that. What? Why are we going to start church early? That don't make no sense. Anything that changed, we complain. But you have to understand, God is only showing you that I want to do something different in your life. I don't understand why we don't like change when we don't like where we are. We don't like where we are, but doggone it if I'm going to change.
That's right.
It makes no sense to me. That's why that's the definition of insanity.
That's what it is.
If you don't like where you are, then you got to make a change. Praise God. That's the way this thing works. What else did he say? Y'all going to read more scripture today than you read in a long time.
But the scriptures picture all mankind as sinners, shut up and imprisoned by sin, so that the inheritance, the blessing, which was promised through faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, might be given, released, delivered, and committed.
Wait a minute. How do you get the promise? That he which was imprisoned by sin, so that the inheritance blessing which was promised through faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, might be given.
Oh,
all we had to do was believe that Jesus is the Christ.
That's right.
I don't want to lose my blessing. How can you lose what was given by God that you did not earn? How many of you in here said, you know, ooh, I'm so glad I turned my life around.
You did?
Well, if you could turn it around, why did it take you so long?
Because
you were trying way before it turned around. And somebody, y'all don't want to be honest with me. You want to try to fool me and make, you just made up your mind and here you are. You don't want to tell nobody about some time when you thought you had it together and you went back. You don't want to tell nobody when you thought you was delivered and you did the same thing again. You don't want to tell nobody when you thought everything, all your ducks was lined up in a row, but you found out all of them was knocked down and all over the place. But you thought you had it together. Where am I thought I had its people? Just because you didn't do it for a month, you thought you was all of that. Come on, somebody. But what you abstained from a month, you was back in it in 5 minutes. Because you were trying not to lose your blessing. Instead of letting God do what he'd already done in your life. Tell your neighbor, all you got to do is just receive it. Just receive it. Boy, I wish I had an arena full of people that's been trying to get this thing right, because they've been having people hollering at them about you need to do this and do that. I wish somebody would tell your neighbor, your friend, your coworker tomorrow that all you've got to do is believe in Jesus Christ and he will make you righteous. You can't believe what this word say and not get it. That's why I'm glad we got a screen. You reading it for yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody told me that the promise was Christ.
No.
Hmm? No. I thought you got the promise if you lived right.
Yeah. Hmm?
See, that's the reason why that most of the children of Israel never made it to the promised land.
Come on.
Because they had to keep the law.
That's right.
And they couldn't even do it. But the good news is, I'm going to mess you up theologically here, but the good news is 430 years later after Christ came, he went down there and preached to them people that couldn't keep the law. And so they got the same benefit as we got. Somebody shout yes! Thank you, Lord. He preached what Moses didn't understand. You see, and I got to preach what the old ancestors didn't understand. But one thing about it, everybody that was under that dispensation, they still get the same grace. Because even everything that they tried to keep and failed at it, all they had to do was just walk in God. How many of you know how to walk in God? See, in Reagan's class, they have to walk down the hallway and they have to fold their arms. That's the hug. And then they have to put air in their cheeks. That's the bubble. So they have to do hugs and bubbles.
Okay.
So you can't talk with air in your cheek.
Yeah.
Now, some of y'all been getting wind in your jaw from the wrong thing. Huh? Because you don't like what I'm saying. You don't like what somebody did. So you get wind in your jaws. But I'm telling you, God wants you to get some wind in your jaw. He wants you to grab yourself, hug yourself, get some bubbles in your jaw and just walk in God and watch him perfect the things that are not right in your life. Somebody shout yes. Tell your neighbor, hugs and bubbles, baby. Hugs and bubbles. And the good thing about it, when you're hugging bubble, you can't pick up nothing that ain't yours. When you're hugging bubble, you can't lie. When you're hugging bubble, your mouth ain't where it ain't supposed to be. When you're oh, good God. Woo. I need some hugs and bubbles, baby. Please be patient with me. Ain't through with me yet. Huh? But if I hug and bubble, some of them words won't come out. Help me, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Because I understand I don't have to do this thing myself. All I got to do is just hug and bubble and trust him. Why you ain't talking today? Don't say nothing. Don't tell your neighbor, don't let the air out your jaw. Because the minute you talk to the devil, you just in trouble. Somebody going to wake up tomorrow. Somebody going to go to work. Walk in the door like this in the morning. Somebody got to go home like that today. Woo! Hey! Glory to God. You know what? And I'm telling y'all, we are cordial people, and we try to do what we can to help other people. But I need to tell you, there's some churches you need to go to like this. Say, I'm here because I love you, but I ain't taking in the mess that's going on. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all think y'all better than everybody else. No, but I am righteous. Well, how, what make you so righteous? Because God made me righteous. And you need to get in a church where your preacher's teaching you God makes you righteous. Isn't that good news to somebody? Aren't you glad to know that you didn't have to do this thing on your own? Read the scripture so we can go eat.
That it might be given, released, delivered, and committed to all those who believe.
What?
Who adhere to and trust in and rely on him.
All he wanted you to do is believe. He didn't ask you to do nothing. Ooh, it's Sunday. It's Sunday, y'all. You know, 613 laws, they couldn't even make their bed up on Sunday. They couldn't cook on Sunday. And you might say, that's just overboard. No, it ain't. You got people sitting on pews who feel not about those things. But if you come in here with your toe out in your shoe, then they need to be wearing some closed-toed shoes. Yeah, look, honey, just because that's the kind of shoes you like, you wear them. That just don't make no sense with them heels that tall. They can't even hardly walk in them. You're supposed to be praising. You don't know who ain't walking right. If them heels float their boat, honey, if you ain't paying for them, you ain't got nothing to say about it. Now that just ain't holy. Yeah, you'll hunch your neighbor. Look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
Now you supposed to be worshiping and you gossiping.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, gossip is holy.
Yeah.
I'm doing the work of God.
Yeah.
He says, just put it on. Just put it on. See, there are things about all of us that God will change. When I first got into the church and was preaching, I had a jerry curl that was long and, oh man, it was long. Messed up a mini suit with grease way back here. Because I wanted it to shake.
Yeah.
You see, and it won't shake too good when it's dry.
You're right.
But you know, you have the old saints. Well, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Who said that? Why do we push off on people things that we don't like? Woman has her glory.
Yeah.
So you ain't supposed to cut it. Where's that in the Bible?
Come on, man.
Hmm? If you got that much of it, it's still your glory. See, that's what they know. If the woman's hair is her glory, long or short, it's her glory. What about them folk who can't get no perm? What about people with medical conditions? So we have all these rules, Ken. Don't wear that what pertaining to a man. Now, can I tell y'all what that was talking about? Since we're talking about laws, that was talking about the Roman soldiers' military equipment.
That's what they were talking about.
That's all it was talking about. That's all it meant then. That's all it means now. Then had some of y'all walking around here wouldn't put no powders on your face.
Come on.
Because if you do, you're a Jezebel.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
I don't understand. Jezebel is a spirit, not a person. Y'all help me if you can. Huh? But what I discovered is people with no powders on their face had babies and wasn't married too. So the powders on your, not on your face, didn't help nothing. Amen. Lights and walls. Y'all know this is, won't y'all might have to keep this sermon in house. You have some folks say that's heresy. If I'm reading heresy, then so be it. Read on. We got to go.
Now, before the faith came, we were perpetually guarded under the law.
Do you know that when the law was here, there was no need for faith?
What, no need?
In fact, that it wasn't faith.
Come on, come on, come on.
Do you think Adam and Eve lived by faith? They were the first ones to live by the promise. Y'all understand that? And Satan's job was to get us back away from the promise and think, make us think because we sin, we have some now, somehow now got to make this up to God. They live by a promise. And then once the law came, it showed us what's wrong. Amen. Adam and Eve's eyes were opened. Then all of a sudden, they knew they were naked. But do you know, before that, they just lived
they
by
just lived.
The promise. That's all they did. God promised them that you're going to have everything you need in this garden. He promised them, I'll come visit you every evening.
Yep.
And everything was going smooth until Satan started an insurrection in heaven and got kicked out. Here we are today. But what I want to say to you today, body of Christ, is we've got to get back to what God established in the garden, and that's just living by the promise.
That's all.
That's it. Let's read. Let's read.
Kept in custody in preparation for the faith that was destined to be revealed.
It was going to be revealed.
Disclosed. Mm-hmm. So that the law served to us Jews as our trainer. Our guardian, our guide to Christ, to lead us until Christ came, that we might be justified, declared righteous, put in right standing with God by and through faith.
What? Who in here is a Jew? Now see, now this is gonna take you back in all of your church years of trying to keep do right, just do what this Bible say do. The law was written for the Jews and the Jews only.
Dog man. What are you talking about?
It was written for God's selected, chosen people.
Dog man.
No law written in the Old Testament was written for you because you are a Gentile.
Dog man.
You were not included in it.
Dog man.
In fact, Paul says, when you were a Gentile, you were not even a people. They called them dogs. Jesus was trying. He almost, Brother Harris, got a little ahead of himself. But he kept it in check. When the lady asked him, he said, I can't give that what's holy to the dogs. And he almost got ahead of himself when she responded, but yes, master, even the dogs get the crumbs. So what he was saying is, I'm here to deliver the Gentiles, but I can't let nobody know about it yet.
Not yet.
But now it has been what? Revealed that we don't have to live by this law. Read on. Yeah, keep going on with it. Okay.
But now that the faith has come, we are no longer under a trainer, the guardian of our childhood.
Now that faith has come.
Yeah.
He says, All you do now is believe in Jesus Christ. And he will make you righteous. He says you don't need somebody to point out to you everything that's wrong. Don't that get on your nerve when people point out your faults?
Come on, man.
You supposed to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Then why are you doing that? And the good thing about what we're teaching here today is when we receive this kind of teaching, we won't have to worry about trying to do the right thing. Because God will just, he'll just put you there. He will place you there. He will make you righteousness. I need you to understand that when the scripture says he will make you righteous, he will make you righteous. Tell your neighbor again, stop trying to do it yourself. Well, I know this is strange, isn't it? Read on.
For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith.
Through me keeping what this Bible say. How are you sons and daughters of Christ? Through what? Through faith. Who have faith in here this morning? Then look at somebody and say, I'm a son and a daughter. Huh? Because I have faith. Yeah, so I am son of God through the faith that I have.
Thank you, God.
Somebody say, stop trying to work your way.
Stop trying to work your way.
Stop being afraid of losing your blessing. Because it's not yours. Read on.
For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, into a spiritual union and communion with Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, have put on, clothe yourselves with Christ.
Who been baptized in here? I know I'm guilty, and but from now on, anybody else that get dunked in this water, they will hear this scripture.
Oh.
That when you get baptized, you are putting on Christ.
Oh.
Because you know what we tell them? Well, you just go down in here, dry sin, and come out a wet one. How dare we say that when the scripture says, come on somebody, we need to repent. The scripture says that when you are baptized, you have put on Christ. The only thing we need to tell people is that if you don't want to put on Christ from this day forward, you are not ready to be baptized. That's it. If you're ready to put on Christ, this is what it represents. Because when I take you down in the water and bring you up, you have put on Christ. And when you get people to understand that, they don't come out of that water afraid. Now, I got to be careful. I don't do nothing wrong. I've been baptized. How many of you have felt like that? That when you come to church and hear a good sermon and feel good and your spirit is high and you go home and you're afraid to do anything because you don't want to mess up. But now you've been liberated in your mind that you have put on Christ.
He gonna do it for you.
When you feel yourself getting weak, say, do it, Lord.
That's right. Come on. Yeah. Give it to him.
Huh? Just say, do it, Lord. He already knows what you're feeling, so tell him, do it, Lord. Why are y'all trying to fool God like you don't want to sin?
Yeah. Come on, man.
Y'all got quiet on me right there. You try to put on a holy thought to get that sin out of your mind. When all you got to do is say, I got Christ on, do it, Lord. Don't try to act like that thought ain't there. Just say, do it, Lord. I don't care if you got to go through the motions of putting him on. Do hugs and bubbles. Do something. Thank you, Jesus. Let's get through.
There is now no distinction, neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is not male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Oh, isn't that amazing, y'all?
Yeah.
This is what God did through his son, Jesus Christ. Before the son, the promised seed came, you could only be under the blessing of the covenant that God made with Israel. But after Christ came, he cleared all of that up. He says, that's why it says, but now there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave, nor free. There's no male, there's no female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not throwing shade on no women preachers, but I just need to tell y'all, that's not talking about preaching. Well, I can preach because the Bible say male nor female. No, that's saying no. Everybody has access to Christ now. That's all that scripture is talking about. So if God called you to preach, you don't have to explain it to nobody. If you are a female, just do it. But I'm going to tell you here at West Union, don't use that scripture because that ain't what it's talking about. Amen. Find the one about it. Well, if Mary could carry the word for 9 months, how come she can't preach? And I ain't even disputing that. Because if you didn't care for 9 months, you're still supposed to preach. Wait, somebody got messed up on that one. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you're supposed to share it. And you can call it preaching, teaching, witnessing, evangelism, whatever, but you got to share the good news. Proclaim the gospel. Now, I understand there are some with a special calling, male and female. But all I'm saying is if you know God called you to do something, you don't need no scripture. Just do it. Because let me help you. That's why the ladies over here who in ministry, they ain't going to get tripped by no jackleg preacher who think he knows something. If God have called you and you hunting the scripture to prove it, there's as many scriptures to prove you ain't supposed to. So just do it. And over here, when you respect your head going to respect you, and he's going to put blessings upon you, and you can go do what God told you to do. But if you're going to spend half your sermon fighting why you're supposed to do it, then that ain't preaching the gospel. Amen. So now, since Jesus has come, there's neither Jew, Greek, bond, free, male, or female. Everybody has access. We are all one in Christ Jesus. How many know we're all one? Amen. In Christ Jesus. And simply put, if that was talking about preaching, then all of us would have to be a pastor because we're all one. Does it make sense? Or we would all have to be members. You couldn't have. Everybody would have to be one thing. But when it comes to offices, God puts them out. But we're still all one. God bless you this morning.